Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a bad hombre. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, let's see. What do we got on the show? Anti-Semitism is causing Twitter problems. I hate when anti-Semitism affects people on Twitter.
In a negative way.
Yes.
Negative, yeah.
Seems to be hurting their business model.
Aww.
Shucks. You know, anti-Semitism, you never know where it's going to rear its horned head.
Mm. I see what you did there.
Yes. Trump uses the word hombre in anger some. I don't know. If we're angry about it, we'll see if we're angry about it. And what we tried to do this a few weeks ago, but we were backed up. But we're going to try it again now.
We've been eating a lot of fiber lately.
Yes, yes, yes. What your zodiac sign has to do with your pooping habits.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my. But I'm going to be leaving on a jet plane very soon. And, there's a lot of stress when you fly.
Yeah, and these days, yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. You got the TSA, you got screaming babies, you got people sneezing all over the place,
mm-hmm.
cramped quarters, extra fees. But apparently there's other issues for other people.
Yes, there
that are. That I have not had to encounter as of yet. Because a United Airlines passenger has complained of discrimination after she was moved to make way for two, quote, Pakistani monks who did not want to sit next to a woman. No, she had cooties.
Yeah, well, maybe she did.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You all do. Mary Campos was leaving California on a jet plane,
mm-hmm.
bound for Houston, when a member of the gate staff reportedly informed her that her pre-booked seat had been changed. I don't know how to tell you this, he said.
He probably drew the short straw.
Yeah, that's what happened.
You tell. All right, we'll pick. All right.
It's like, this is going to be ugly.
It's been changed, and you're going to be in first class.
No.
Here she comes. You pick the short straw. Tell her.
He then explained that due to the two passengers' cultural beliefs, they could not sit next to or talk to a woman. What are they, Spanky and Alfalfa?
It's the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Yeah, pretty much.
The men were described as Pakistani monks by Ms. Campos and were reportedly wearing long orange shirts. What were they, criminals? Isn't that what criminals wear?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Was one part of their robe tucked up higher than the other? That's kind of like the jailhouse thing. Never mind.
You'll see yourself out?
Yeah, I will.
Thank you. No other information was available on the men's ethnicity or religion. Well, you could ask. If somebody's asking you, if somebody's saying, I won't sit next to a woman because of my religious beliefs, the next question is, what are your religious beliefs?
Yeah, really.
That should be the follow-up.
Yeah, that should be the follow-up question.
I don't think I'm Columbo. What else?
Yeah. Can I ask you something, ma'am? What ethnicity are you? Because the wife wants to know. Sometimes I sit in a plane, he sits next to me.
By the way,
yes.
I was thinking, quickly, the Rolodex of PIs, I wanted to go with somebody that I thought he might be able to impersonate, and I wanted to go with that, and it worked.
It worked.
I couldn't go somebody new. Sometimes you got to know your co-host.
Funny, yeah, right?
And fortunately, you do.
I do. Anywho. Nor other available, so they could also not be served by female staff, she was told. In a letter to United Airlines, she wrote, what if I were handicapped or transgender? Well, how would they know? I don't know what transgender has to do with that.
I don't, but she's just saying, what if I was another protected class in the United States?
No. What if your entire crew were female? Well, then they would stop and ask for directions.
What would they do if all the crew was female?
They wouldn't eat. They don't get a lot on these flights anyway.
Mm. Yeah, apparently they won't.
They'd be fine. Now, if the pilots were females.
You bring your own damn snacks.
Yeah, but if the pilots... Nah, that would never happen. Never heard female pilots. That's ridiculous. Any belief that prevents individuals from interacting with females should not travel on a commercial aircraft. The airline responded to say that they would look into the matter. In a statement, the airline wrote, we regret that Ms. Campos wasn't happy with the handling of the seat assignments on her flight. Are you? Ms. Campos said she did not want to sue the airline, but insisted that they apologize to every woman on the plane, including staff.
Yes.
Were you going to track them down?
Well, they have...
Can you see you sitting home at night? The phone's ringing. Hi. You apologize. All right. About that. Never mind my luggage got lost for 3 days. This you're concerned about.
Yeah.
She said, I thought I lived in a culture where females were equal to men. Nuh-uh.
Not on this plane.
Well,
not on this plane.
Well, on paper, maybe. But
she also wanted the company to change their policy to protect women's rights.
Well, in a way, yes. It's like, well, how? Why is it that because these people's religious beliefs are stronger than the rights of the women who already booked their seats?
Well, I mean, to be fair, none of her rights were trampled.
Yeah, she was moved.
Yeah, but you don't have a right to sit there.
No, but the thing is,
I don't think they should have moved her, but you don't have a right to sit there.
You don't have the right to sit there, I guess, because basically the airline, it's up to the airline.
Yeah.
However, you have a responsibility. And some people had a responsibility. If this was such an issue to the monks,
mm-hmm.
it maybe should have been brought up when they booked the tickets. It also should have been made aware of when they went to the ticket counter to
well, it was made aware of then. I think the monks did say something then. But you know what? If you have religious issues and there's only three seats across, and some flights have two,
yeah.
and three, but if there are only three seats across, I think it's on you. Well, you know what? You got to pay for that extra seat.
I was just going to say that.
You know, if you have special needs,
if you have a problem with the possibility a female might sit next to you, then you buy the seat.
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Problem solved.
Well, let's look at the word special needs. What if
this
was
is not going to end well?
Well, no, it's like. If you have special needs, you get a, you know, will you have special needs? Would you agree that this would be a special need?
I think you just like saying special needs.
No, would you agree that the special need as such would be like a special need for a handicapped person?
No.
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 Why?
Because you never hear a handicapped person kick people out of their seats. They just drool on you, and that's the deal.
If it's beneficial to them sitting there, and they have to move somebody, I think it's almost the same thing.
Then that should all be taken care of before you get there.
And define before you get there. Is it when you book the ticket or when you're
at
the gate?
When you book the ticket, if you have a special need, when you're booking the ticket, because you can still call airlines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You call them and say, listen, here's the situation. And then they could say, well, we can't get you on that flight, or we can. Here's the deal. We have a guy sitting on the aisle. There's two seats there. You can sit there, or we can't accommodate that. You'll have to take another flight. This is your decision.
Right. Now, do you agree that under that guise that the monks should have done that as well when he booked the tickets?
Of course.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So on that, they should have mentioned that.
Sure.
And they should. Okay.
The monks are wrong.
And then under that, then this woman would never have been inconvenienced. Because it would have been at the point where they're booking the seats on the plane way before the flight ever took place.
If you have special concerns, then the onus is on you.
Yes.
Would you have moved if you were asked?
For those circumstances, I would have stood my ground.
You probably would have rubbed up against them.
I would have been touching them inappropriately.
Yeah, you would have used them as a pole in a strip club.
Pretty much. Pretty much. There would have been groping.
If that was me, I would have. However,
you didn't say however. You would have what?
I would have asked. I'll move, but I want a discount on the flight. I want more frequent flyer miles.
I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that.
Then I am moving.
Sorry. Then we're going to have to call the police. We're going to have to call the authorities.
Over seat 25A. You want me over?
I mean, that's really what it comes
down
to.
Yeah, but the funny thing is,
you can only put up so much of a stink.
But mm-hmm. the funny thing is, somebody that was a purchasing agent, you go till there's a point, and we said it. You know, we always said it. There's a point where you're going to lose. Fight, go fight till we're going to lose, and then get whatever you can.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll sit in the back.
All right, let's try to get through this next one.
Okay.
A Muslim man was told to leave a Southwestern Airlines flight after another passenger overheard him speaking Arabic on his mobile phone. Oh, I'm going to try to get this name. Karuldeen Makhzoomi. And if you think it's wrong, go screw. I don't care. A 26-year-old Berkeley graduate was removed from the plane at Los Angeles International Airport in April this year. Once seated, he had made a brief call to his uncle in Baghdad, telling him how excited he was to ask a question to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
During a dinner the previous day. Before hanging up, he said the Islamic phrase in Arabic, Inshallah, meaning God willing.
Mm-hmm.
They always say that.
Yeah.
He noticed a woman staring at him because he was sexy. No, as he hung up the phone. He thought at first she had been irritated by how loud he was speaking.
Maybe.
Then he says, one guy came with police officers within 2 minutes. I can't believe how fast they were. He told me to get off the plane, he told CNN. An agent escorted him outside and asked him why he was speaking in Arabic considering today's political climate. No.
No.
You need to be very honest with us and what you said about the martyrs. Tell us everything you know about the martyrs, the agent said to him. I'm going to be one if you don't put me back on that plane.
Yeah.
The political science graduate explained he had only said God willing, and the questioning soon ended, but not before dogs were brought in to sniff his luggage and his nuts, and he was searched and his wallet was taken away. It didn't say his nuts. I didn't know.
But that was probably true.
Yeah, but it sniffed all over.
Yeah.
The U.S. is the land of freedom. People respect the rule of law. How could people be humiliated like this?
Because there's been a history of people being on a plane, causing a bit of a ruckus.
Actually, there's not. Actually, no. Actually, when these bombers happen, they don't usually
cause
a ruckus.
Quiet.
All right, but
they kind of blend. Yeah, they
try to blend.
Yeah, they're certainly not calling their uncle before the deed is done.
Understood,
that's kind of taken care of before
still,
they get to the airport.
It's a little disquieting to hear that on an airliner.
No, it's not.
Really?
I know. You know what? I will say.
Really, Rambo?
No, you know, I fly all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, you sure you look out of the corner of your eye mm-hmm. when somebody's dressed in the Muslim attire mm-hmm. and you hear things. Sure, it raises things, but you go, really stupid? They're gonna look more like Joe if they're gonna blow something up.
Well, thanks. Thanks for making me a person of interest.
Be the first time.
No, I think that this is, you know, people say PC run amok. I think this is vigilance run amok.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is speaking in their own language. Now, in the current climate, you should not speak in your own language. What?
It's ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, that's called common sense. If there's suspicion of that, you don't talk in that language because it's going to raise suspicion.
The guy
that's
was just at a UN dinner. I don't think he was.
But the rest of the plane doesn't know that. He doesn't get it. He's not bragging
Everybody
about it.
But this woman knew it.
Everybody else within earshot
was cool.
Everybody else was cool.
Yeah.
Muslims represent one third of the planet. All of them should stop speaking in their native language because it upsets
when they're on an airplane. It's just common sense.
You know,
it's not.
No, you don't say the word bomb. You don't.
Unless you're talking about your set.
You don't say boom.
Unless you're talking about something that was thrown at you and connected.
You don't wave around a box cutter. You're allowed to speak in your own language. You know, I think that's insane.
I understand
now.
You see something, say something. I get that. But people need to relax. You know what? If you see him shifting around and it looks like there's a gun or a box cutter or something, that's cool. If you hear a loud ticking coming from a package, all right. I get it. If they carry something that looks like a bomb, fine.
If you see him carrying a bottle of shampoo that's more than 3 ounces.
Yes.
Suspicious.
Yes.
And unfair, because I can never bring my stuff on.
You can't. Now, this is just a paranoid woman, and the you know what? They can question if they want to question this guy.
Paranoid? You stand in a line searching all through your luggage for almost an hour.
And he got through, and there was no issue.
But still.
He got through.
But still, it just used some common sense.
Yeah, she should have.
You're going to attract attention when you talk. Just say it in English.
Not if the guy on the other end
doesn't
understand
English.
Yeah, he's in Baghdad, stupid. I don't know how good their ESL classes are.
You should have called
them
while you were at the airport, you know, before you got on the plane.
A lot of people call right before they land. I love you.
All right, I'm taking off now.
Yeah.
I'm going to see you in this many hours.
Yeah.
And, I just want to tell you this one really cool thing that happened. You know, like, everybody would do that on a business trip or they're about to. No,
the airline handled it wrong. This woman is paranoid.
Yeah.
It's not helping the situation. Yeah. You got to be cool. Like I said, I see them walking down the aisle all the time, mm-hmm. and I get it. Even somebody like me, you're a little on edge. I get it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? No. Because they wouldn't dress so standing out like that. Because when they blow up stuff, they shave, they take flight classes without the landing.
Not the shoe bomber. He looked like a nut.
That's true. He did. But he was futzing around with his shoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just going to raise suspicion.
If somebody was doing something very suspicious, like futzing with something, or they, you know, their eyes are darting around and everything, sitting there making a calm phone call.
If you understand Arabic and you say, don't worry about me at the airport. I don't think we're going to, at the airport, I don't think we're going to get there. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to bother picking me up.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing's never going to land.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be all over the place. Anyway. Yeah, no, they got to overreact. All right, when we come back, some reality show myths. Don't go nowhere. All right, we haven't done this in a while. I like watching reality shows.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're not always real. In Dinner Impossible, you guys ever see that?
Dinner Impossible?
That was with Robert Irvine. He's like a he's like a knockoff of Chef Ramsay.
All right.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't watch the food ones, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is going to go over your head. Dinner Impossible. In 2008, during the show's second season, news broke in the St. Petersburg Times out of Florida that some of the most impressive items on the host's CVs were completely cooked up in Irvine's head. Accomplishments like working on the wedding cake for Princess Charles and Princess Di, or cooking for sitting U.S. presidents never actually happened.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Irvine was yanked from his show shortly after the truth.
You just see this lamb hook come out. There's an empty kitchen. Stupid's gone.
Doesn't they check?
No, there's no fact checking on these shows.
But only a few years later, the Food Network brought him back for various projects.
Of course.
You know what? You're a lying scumbag, but we like to cut of your jib.
He's a good cook.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
You know what? Everybody gets a second chance here.
Sure.
You could do the craziest thing.
I try.
I know. You could murder people in the street, and they'll have you back.
As long as I don't speak Arabic, I'll probably get away with it.
That's right.
Oh, Man vs. Wild. I used to watch this show.
Oh, yeah.
With Bear Grylls.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a former British commando.
Yeah.
Who like takes on all these difficult tasks being followed by a huge camera crew.
But in really inhospitable places.
Obama did that.
Did he?
Yeah, I think the hospitable place was Congress. But, he did do that. He did a Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls.
Wow, yeah. Cool.
What are you going to be walking around the wilderness with 50 Secret Service people?
I don't really.
They frisk the bear. Yeah.
You stay up that tree.
It's a wire on the raccoon. The raccoon's a little midget FBI guy with glasses. Yeah.
The bear had an earpiece, though. He's like, shh, shh, I'm in disguise.
Yeah, right.
Robin's going to put a hit on him. It's about a British military vet who gets dropped into the harsh landscapes and must survive, often for days, with minimal gear.
Mm-hmm.
Bear, that's his name, actually stayed in hotels overnight sometimes.
Yeah.
Man
versus room service.
Oh, there it was. You beat me to it.
That was a foot race.
Sometimes room service wins and you don't leave the bathroom. I never saw that episode.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I'm afraid I've seen that episode.
Bear shan't be getting off the throne.
Yes.
The chutzpah.
You know, yeah, it's like, it really is annoying.
Yeah. Stayed in hotels overnight sometimes, as well as had help from the crew when it came to perceived ingenuity in doing things. Yeah, can you give me your dinner?
Perceived.
I'm starving over here. It's been 3 hours since I've eaten.
Could you just see? He's by this cliff. I've got to scale this cliff. How am I going to do it? You see this rope just drop down?
You see the camera go, psst, go around the corner, the stairs.
Yeah. Why, look at that. Stairs.
Some ancient tribe must have left them here.
Yeah, I used to get into this.
Some ancient tribe just
how
left them.
It is.
And meanwhile, you see somebody in the background with eyes really big, holding a hammer like, oops, in the shot.
There's some ancient writing on the steps. Let's look. Watch your step.
This looks like some ancient carpeting for when slippery.
Funny. Funny.
Oh, Bear, it just happens to all work out for you. As well as help from the crew when it came to his perceived ingenuity and doing things like building a wooden raft. They have a team of carpenters on standby.
Yeah, really, really.
Don't worry, Noah, we got it.
Was there a table saw behind that palm tree?
you just see a bunch of people smoking on a break while he's talking about what he has to do.
Meanwhile, there's an OSHA regulator there with a clipboard like, right, and taking notes.
People have died here, and the guy, not today!
Not while we're on the clock.
Man versus the Union.
Yeah. Which really? Was actually assembled off camera and then disassembled for him to find and put together a
Disassembled for him to find. Oh, how did this get here?
It's like IKEA. It's rafts by IKEA.
I know. It's like an Easter egg hunt, but for rafts.
Figure out the instructions. By IKEA. You know, look, it's a flubberglobber raft.
You know what? But they had to stop filming when he couldn't find the little Allen wrench that puts it all together. Right.
Move over, Bear. We'll do it.
Idiots.
Have a tasty cake. A spokesman said, Bear does do all his own stunts and does put himself in perilous situations. But Born Survivor is not an observational documentary series, but a how-to guide to basic survival. Yeah, carry a team around with you.
You know, a how-to guide. It's It's never referenced as a how-to guide when you're watching
it's
the
called
show.
Man vs. Wild, not Man vs. Wild and my team of helpers.
Yeah.
And craft services.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to This Is What We're Gonna Do.
I think the bread's a little stale.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What will we do?
I'm roughing it. I'm Bear Grylls. I'm a badass.
Wait. There's no butter left.
It's not. It's not an optional video, but a how-to guide to basic survival techniques in extreme environments. The program explicitly does not claim that presenter Bear Grylls' experience is one of unaided solo survival. No, but it's kind of inferred.
Implied.
Obviously with the camera crew there, but still.
Yeah, you think there's a small camera crew.
Yeah, you get the perception they just dropped everybody off on a helicopter and said, all right, have fun.
And they just kind of watch him, you know?
Yeah, I feel a little gypped.
I do, too. Disappointing.
When we come back, Nazis and Twitter. Why not? Don't go anywhere. So there's been an uptick in anti-Semitism. Never good.
I don't like that.
I don't either. Trust me. Let's get right. The old Nazi theme song. I haven't played this one in a while.
No, I missed it.
Of course you have. Of course you have, Ava.
Funny.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
That's nice after the gospel hour.
Some people might have actually been saying that.
Oh, wow. New report shows anti-Semitism bullying of journalists is on the rise. The Anti-Defamation League studied millions of tweets in the year what an awful job studying tweets.
Really?
In the year before July 2016 and found that as the election ramped up, anti-Semitic harassment of journalists significantly increased. I wonder why that happened. The abuse was largely perpetuated by the same cluster of about 1,600 accounts who describes themselves as white supremacists or neo-Nazis. Attacks on journalists like ex-Breitbart editor Ben Shapiro and CNN Jake Tapper include slurs, Holocaust references, and sloppy Photoshop jobs.
That never happened.
I like to say it wasn't even good. Yeah. Listen, not for nothing.
But however, if it was good, it would change the whole complex of the situation.
Right.
A little respect. No, we don't mind what you did, but a little effort.
You know what they said was wrong. It was derogatory. It was hateful, but they did a great job. So we're going to forget about everything else.
Yes.
Yes, that was the most hateful, anti-Semitic, racist movie I've ever seen.
But
the
nicely
CGI
done.
Was incredible.
People, the message is take some time with your hate.
Beautifully craft your hate.
Color inside the lines of the swastika.
Oh, my God.
The Photoshop job of people's faces on the bodies of concentration camp victims.
Yeah, that's not right.
The report is just the latest example of Twitter's failure to crack down on cyberbullying, a failure that could cost them deeply. The company may have missed out on several big buyers due to concerns over what amounts to a relatively small army of trolls. And Twitter's stock prices continue to plummet. It needs investors. Twitter says that it prohibits attacks or threats on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or disease, and warns that violation of this rule could result in suspension.
If we notice it.
Or if they actually pay attention to it.
Or if we pay it, or actually rephrase it, if we pay attention to it.
As long as you do in 140 characters or less, you're fine. But the company provides little detail about what kind of comment meets the mark for punishment and does very little to stop anyone banned from just making a new account. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they could do.
Well,
ban an email address.
They could.
Then you'd create a new email address.
Or check the IRL it's coming in on.
URL.
URL?
Anonymity, anonymity, that word is a pain in the nuts. Mm. Anonymity is one of the things that have attracted some of the platform's more than 300 million active users. That's also the main thing that's turned people away. And it's not just Twitter users that are being driven away. Potential buyers of the social media network are also reportedly fleeing, including Bloomberg, Disney. That is not a Disney project.
No.
Anti-Semitism with Pixar. A goy story.
It could.
Well, it was Walt Disney was an anti-Semite.
Yeah. So it actually, was. Maybe.
I can't wait for the new movie, Finding Anne Frank.
Yeah. Can't wait till the figures come out.
Oh, they're going to be very thin.
A little play attic. You know?
Instead of frozen, oven.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
Well, Disney.
Pip Helix, ladies and gentlemen. Pip Helix. That Shutter Joe. Would. All right. So you get the idea. What do you make of this increase in anti-Semitism?
I think that it shows that there's an increase in hate crimes overall, and people looking for scapegoats, and traditionally through history, the Jews have been, you know, pounded on by people looking for scapegoats. So I'm not surprised in this climate that's happening again. I'm disappointed.
Listen, it's really obvious to do. You get a complaint, you look at the tweet, you delete the account. Yeah. It's really easy to do.
It is.
Twitter's making it seem much more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah, they could take care of a lot of this.
Right, they're afraid of losing people.
Yeah, they are.
You know what? I don't need the racism, anti-Semitism, and sexism on Twitter. I could do without it.
Yeah, me too.
Joe?
It's the same groups that are doing it, which is, obviously, it's not a whole new group of people. It's the usual suspects, mm-hmm. which they shouldn't be doing, and it's wrong. The thing about it is that they're going to hate no matter what avenue.
Yeah, right. But you don't need to see it.
You don't need to see it, but it's not a whole bunch of people you never would suspect of tweeting that stuff. So that's like a little silver lining on that.
I feel nice now. All right.
They can hate, but not on my platform.
All right. Well, more show when we come back. Somebody's a bad hombre. You know, it's not really a show if we're not talking about the Trumpster. In some way.
Lately. Soon.
He's the Ann Jackson of my politics. Inside joke. Oh, so Donald was at it again. On Wednesday night, when moderator Chris Wallace asked Trump about immigration policy and reform, he began, as he often does, painting undocumented... Well, this is opinion. Anyway, he was talking about undocumented immigrants, and he was calling them violent criminals. Although there's research that says otherwise, but that's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. The GOP nominee moved on to drugs, drug lords, and the need to deport, quote, bad people. We'll get them out, secure the border, and once the border is secured, at a later date, we'll make a determination as to the rest. But we have some bad hombres here. We're going to get them out. He mispronounced hombres. he called them hombres.
Hungries.
We have some bad hungries there. Fortunately, I have my Trump taco bowl for Trump Plaza so we can feed them.
That actually looked good.
But it came out it wasn't from Trump's tower. It was a shame. It was a sham! A sham. So we actually have more immigrants from Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa, and those are the most undocumented immigrants we have at this point. It's not really the immigration from the illegal immigration from Mexico at this point is pretty much a zero.
Mm-hmm.
But you know they're on the border; it's the scapegoat. It's not really South America, Central America, Mexico anymore. It's other places.
Right.
So anyway, people were upset about the Trumpster using hombre. I'm sure Joe is fine with it.
Yeah,
of course.
He said nothing wrong. And also,
how about pronouncing it properly? Well, can we start with that?
And also,
yeah, he said it wrong.
Let's cut this nonsense of saying undocumented and use the correct word illegal, not undocumented, illegal.
Anyway, you got a problem with him dropping in the old hombre?
I don't feel the sense of outrage that people from the Latino community do, because I'm not a Latino and I really don't walk in their shoes.
Or the Jews, judging from the last segment.
Now, that was from Disney's point of view,
okay.
Not my own. Some of the jokes represented on Davin's Den will be from other people's point of view, not the comedians. But the thing is...
because that means you.
Yeah, I'm saying me.
Okay.
But the thing is, it using a word in a different language that we don't normally use. I mean, we use a lot of Spanish words.
He does not use that word every day.
He doesn't normally use that word, but using that his very pointed way of specifying a certain group of people.
He was doing that to his little fanboys and
yeah,
girls.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
Because I haven't talked about The Wall in a while. Don't worry. I haven't forgotten about you.
But still, so why don't we ask the Latino community that their neighborhoods are infested by gangs.
That's not what we're talking about.
But
though.
What I'm saying.
We're talking about hombres.
But yeah, right. And exactly. So let's go to them and go in their neighborhood and go, would you be upset if we cleaned up all the gangs and made your neighborhood safe again?
He's not talking about
that. Are you worried about the word hombre?
He's not talking about that, though.
But what I'm
you're making a different argument. Stick to the topic.
I'm sticking to the topic.
You're not.
Yes, I am.
The topic is whether people should be outraged over the word hombre.
And the thing is I mean, that is exactly my point. If you go to these neighborhoods that, quote-unquote, by the media are outraged, ask them if they're outraged
I don't think
by a word,
neighborhoods were outraged.
But still, the community. If they're outraged by the word, or they should be outraged by the situation that is causing this.
Listen, there's nothing Donald Trump can do to offend me anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't consider him a...
He said nothing offensive
here. But even if he did, there's nothing he could do to offend... Because I don't consider him a serious candidate. There was that time when I tried... I look at him really now as a bad comic, and I don't get offended. I do. That's how I look at him. It's sad.
Yeah.
I wish the Republicans had a stronger candidate to really push Hillary and go after the many things that you could.
Right.
But they can't. But this campaign of his has been such a joke for so long that he can't offend me anymore. It doesn't even make me raise an eyebrow. But I get why Latinos... could feel that they were being picked on for that. I get it.
Well, like, again.
But then I would go, well, what did you really expect?
If he, for example, had been talking about, and he wasn't, but specifically, if he had been speaking about black people and saying that,
I don't think
hombre
would be the word.
No. I'm just saying that.
Let's go with me an hombre.
Yeah.
I know the other word you could use. Maybe we'll stick with hombre.
If you're on his campaign.
There's going to be letters written on this show.
Maybe the H word.
We got your letters. throughout his campaign, if he had been speaking negatively about African-American people, say, and then he stopped for a little while, and all of a sudden he came by back, and he was talking about, we have some really bad homeboys here. Specifically, you're talking about the black
community.
What,
did you start it with yo-yo-yo?
Well, if he had used that word, then you would know it was directed at that.
I think Trump should have whispered into
yo,
the mic.
Yo, DJT raps.
I think Trump should have said, yo, essay. We're going to clean out the bad hombres. To which Hillary going to go, no, Donald, you're a gringo. That's how the debate should have gone.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, I get why they're offended.
But on
the whole scale of things that Donald Trump has done.
It's not the most egregious by far.
It doesn't really register at this point.
No, it's really not. I mean... I think if the Latino community wants to get upset, he did a lot worse to them before.
But
this.
He was sending out a message to his fans.
Yes, he was.
That was clearly directed to the people where this is a big issue.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, don't go anywhere. When we come back, pooping, what you should know about it. So, Mr. Reuter Plumbing, why do I start with so?
I don't know.
I should not.
Why?
So,
I guess I could.
Dear,
so?
A female. Wait,
this is a conversation. Our show is a conversation. We took a break. Let's say somebody walks out to use the restroom. We'll grab a cup of coffee. Somebody goes, so, do it, you know?
Yeah.
You're right, Joe. I'm a genius. Moving on. Mr. Reuter Plumbing, I'm a genius, and then we're going to do this.
Nice lead-in, stupid.
Yeah, there it is. Mr. Reuter Plumbing created an infographic to flush out how a person's zodiac sign... And then they put stupid puns in here, but what do I expect?
Yeah, a graphic? Oh.
Purportedly, they wrote,
oh, no.
Influences their bathroom habits. A company spokeswoman said officials looked at the basic trait of each astrological sign and extrapolated how that might affect one's pooping style.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. We shall poop. All right. Let's go through these. Aries. Unlike many other bathroom goers, Aries are fearless and don't need a companion to accompany them. With no shame in their bathroom game, they get right to the point. They're not wasting around. They're not beating around the tush.
They don't have to bring somebody to the bathroom with them. Loners.
They don't need a spotter. Spotter. Do you know any Aries?
I can't think
I'm an
of
Aries.
Any.
Are you?
Yeah.
Does that, well, all right, relax.
Poop alone.
I just said I know.
Does this describe you? Are you right to the point, Mr. Poop?
Yes.
You don't need anybody going with you?
No.
Hold your hand, paddle your tush?
No. Nope.
You're good to go. All right. So you agree with this?
Yes.
Taurus, or as they call them, fancy pants. With a desire to live in the lap of luxury, Taurus are the first ones to opt for the bidet and are even willing to hold it in until they can go in the comfort of their own home. I think most people would hold it in if they can.
Yeah, you want your own home.
You want your own
advantage.
Literature.
Yep, yes.
As one of my friends called it, the home bowl advantage.
Yes.
The home bowl advantage. I like that. My dad's a Taurus. I've never known him to opt for the bidet. I don't know if the bidet was ever offered, but I don't know him as a bidet person.
Mm. You never know.
I'm not a bidet person.
I never used a bidet.
No.
I've never had the opportunity.
One time I used it as a water fountain, but that was a mistake. Gemini. Hey, puppy. Chatty Cathy. On the opposition of science, they like doing their business while surrounded by conversation. So don't be fooled by their silence. A quiet Gemini just means they're eavesdropping on your conversation. So watch what you say. Are you chatting while pooping?
Most of the time, no. Unless one of the cats comes in. What a good kitty! What a good kitty!
Oh, whose tail is that?
Yes.
Whose poop is that?
It's yours.
I don't need a conversation while pooping.
Yeah, I don't like. Yeah.
No, I prefer not to.
Cancer. All right, the wife is a Cancer. Mama Bear, a protector in their own right. Cancers will be the first to escort a timid bathroom goer when they're forced to go out of their comfort zone, and will always let others slip the line. I don't know. She escorts my daughter.
Yeah.
I don't really know any volunteering. Hey, let me go poop with you.
Yeah, really.
I'll
get you through this.
Yeah, I don't remember her ever helping me in
the
ladies' room.
All right, honey, let's go.
All right. Yeah, well, I'll talk you through.
Yeah, you definitely get a new spotter.
Leo, the loud and the proud. What are you?
I'm Sagittarius.
Okay. Leo, the loud and the proud. When Leos have to go, the whole world knows about it.
Oh, God. That's
alrighty
a horrible
then. They also
picture.
Take their sweet time taking care of business. And have no shame in spending extra time looking in the mirror, even with
not
the crowd.
During.
I don't know.
Oh,
listen,
no.
I'm suspicious of people that linger in the lavatory.
Why?
Because it smells in there.
Well, you know, the courtesy flush has a lot to be said for it.
Yeah, you do your business, you go.
Yeah.
You're not auditioning.
Yeah, but not everybody eats tons of kale, you know? There's some people that have an issue.
Yeah, but once you're done, you go.
Yeah.
I'm not lingering, enjoying the smells.
Yeah, I don't want to make a day of it, yeah.
Oh, let's get the fast pass. I don't want to wait online.
Gee whiz, you thought they had postcards here.
Virgo, the routine restroomer. Meticulous and structured by nature, Virgos follow the same bathroom routine every day.
Okay.
They also have a particular way they like to place toilet paper on a holder, and will fix it if it's not with their proper preferred way.
Oh, yeah,
all right,
yes.
The wife's one of those where she has to fix the toilet paper.
Well, is it over or under for her?
I think she does it under. I don't know.
Really?
No, she gets mad at me when I don't put it on the roll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're a woman and you care.
Yeah, well, I just replaced yours upstairs.
Did you?
Yep.
The daughter was the last one in there. Don't blame me. Libra, the peace seeker. The hell is she?
Please leave me alone while I'm pooping.
While Libras like the company of a bathroom buddy, they prefer to take care of business in a quiet atmosphere.
A poo pal.
Poo pal.
Joe, write me next time you go.
Yeah. Be my poo pal.
Scorpio, all right, this is me. The bathroom agoraphobic.
What?
With a distaste for crowds, they're the first to turn around and wait for the bathroom to clear out before doing their business. But if waiting is not an option, Scorpios always go to the corner stall. You know what? I'm kind of like that. I don't like people in there. And I'm always going to the corner because at least you got one side.
You don't want them right next to
you? Yeah, I don't
want to
be in between a poo sandwich. Kind of describes me.
Ew.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be there. I'd rather wait for home. But, you know, sometimes the turtle needs to come out.
Okay.
Sagittarius Pip.
Uh-oh.
The adventurer. Oh.
I don't know about this.
It's Indiana Goes.
Almost.
Come on.
You have to wear a little hat
and
a whip.
The little bit that could.
Fearless, the Sagittarius will be the first to pop a squat or pull over on the side of the road to do their business. They try and take the taboo out of using the bathroom and live by the motto, it's human nature and embrace it.
I don't know about that.
Not on my chairs, woman.
No, and the whole, like, pull over, I'm just going to cop a squat in a field? Yeah, no.
All right, let's get through this. Capricorn, displaying efficiency at its finest, Capricorns waste no time. They're in and out. They waste no time in the process. Why even wipe? They have it down to a science. Wait for the stall, line the toilet, do their business, wash and go. You know what? Not for nothing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my approach.
Efficient.
Well, at least when out in business. I mean, when you're home, you can make it a process. But.
Right.
Aquarius, with their eco-friendly attitudes, Aquarius make sure their bathroom habits don't home the environment. They are conservative flushers and prefer to use recycled toilet paper. You know what? Be generous with your flushes. Especially if in public, because you know what? We don't need that to linger and waft while you're being eco-friendly. Now is not the time to go green. You're brown.
Yes.
Well, you know what hippies say. If it's yellow, let it mellow. It's brown, flush it down.
Yes. The final one, Pisces, as pensive as they come. Pisces see the throne as a place to get their thinking done. They open their open minds allows them to go with the flow and let nature take its course.
They get their best thinking done.
You know, the Statue of David was actually, originally, it wasn't on a
the
block.
Thinker, you mean?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's the one. I mean,
he's not the thinker, he's the pooper.
He's the pooper.
He's the pooper.
So there you go.
Ah,
it's
well,
all in the stars.
Hmm. Or in the bowl.
Pip?
Yes.
Joe? Where are you going to be?
I am going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, the 2nd through the 5th. Go to 1-877-UNCLE-VIN for reservations and information.
Tuesday, November 1st through Tuesday, November 13th, I'll be working at the Atlantis in the Bahamas at the Comedy Club Joker's Wild. So if you happen to be in the Bahamas, come and see me. Friday, November 4th, live comedy at Il Palazzo in Wanacue, New Jersey, starring Kevin Lee from Last Comic Standing. For tickets, 973-839-9696. Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. Go to listen to the whole unedited show. You go to davinsden.com. Thank you guys for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.